Welcome to the Balance Bites podcast with Diane Sanfilippo and Liz Wolf. Diane is a New York Times bestselling author of Practical Paleo, The 21-Day Sugar Detox, and co-author of Mediterranean Paleo Cooking. Liz is the best-selling author of Eat the Yolks and The Skintervention Guide. Together, Diane and Liz answer your questions, interview leading health and wellness experts, and share their take on modern paleo living with their signature-friendly and balanced approach. Remember our disclaimer, the materials and content within this podcast are intended as general information only and are not to be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
Hey friends, welcome to Balance Bites podcast number 172, and a happy new year to you.
And to you.
I'm tapping my hat. What is it? Tipping?
Tipping.
Isn't that a soccer thing? A hat tip? No, that's a hat trick. I ruin everything. Well, anyway, happy new year episode. We'll do some sponsors. We have some amazing sponsors who make this podcast possible. We want you to know about Vital Choice. They offer wild and sustainably harvested seafood and other nutrient-dense healing foods. Consider them not only for yourself, but for others because they make a perfect nutritious start to the new year. Choose from wild salmon and halibut samplers, smoked salmon samplers, organic food gift packs and gift certificates, and more. Save yourself some stress and just buy people you love delicious food from Vital Choice. They'll send it to anybody, anywhere on the date of your choosing. Well, wait, I don't know about anywhere, but anyone on the date of your choosing. And orders of $99 or more ship free. This year, give the gift of health from Vital Choice. Or this new year, stay healthy with Vital Choice. They're offering listeners 15% off any order using code BALANCEDBITES. Next up, Pete's Paleo. The 21-Day Sugar Detox is great for your body in so many ways, but consistently feeding yourself right can be a challenge. Pete's Paleo makes delicious, seasonal, ready-to-eat meals that strictly follow the 21-DSD program. They're shipped directly to your door, ready to go. Let Pete's Paleo help you with your 21-DSD success in the new year. Diane, you'll probably let people know that a big 21-DSD group is starting in just a couple of days, so give that some thought, and don't forget that their bacon is also 21-DSD approved and sugar-free. Some coupons, 5 off 21-DSD for $5 off 21-DSD meals, and 5 off Pete's Paleo, coupon code for $5 off regular Pete's Paleo meals. And finally, a sponsor that I'm thrilled about, Dragonfly Traditions, natural nourishing skincare with absolutely no unnecessary chemicals. It's natural nutrition for the skin. I'm a huge fan. Folks know that. I love their serum, their night cream. Phoebe is doing some amazing stuff over there, and her story is fabulous as well. All I can say is their stuff goes on beautifully, and it makes my skin really soft and happy, so I can't recommend Dragonfly Traditions enough. Head over to dragonflytraditions.com and add Balanced Bites to your shopping cart for one penny, and Phoebe will send you 2 free lip balms and your penny back. A penny for the new year.
A penny for your thoughts. And for your purchase.
And British something. Okay. All right, so what's new with you in this new year?
Okay, so probably the biggest news is this show launches January 1st, which how fun is that? But the biggest 21DSD kickoff pretty much ever, because it grows every year, is January 5th. And so I pretty much never start the program on January 1st, because unless January 1st falls on a Monday, it's not going to start that day. So we always start the program the first Monday of the month. I want everybody to have plenty of time to prepare and shop and get their food ready over the weekend so that Monday is a really strong, steady start. So we kick off January 5th, and definitely come check it out at 21DSD.com or 21DaySugarDetox.com. And we should have the whole new website up by then, which is really exciting. And we're going to be growing the information on the site and just kind of creating more resources to help everyone out through the program. So that's super exciting for me. And then just quickly, I just want to remind folks about upcoming events. A couple of Saturdays in January, the 10th in Wayne, New Jersey at Costco, and Saturday the 17th. It's currently still TBD at East Hanover Costco here in New Jersey also, but just check out balancebites.com to see if those events are still happening. The Wayne one's confirmed. And then Friday, January 23rd, I'll be in Salt Lake City at the Barnes & Noble Sugar House at 7 p.m. to sign books and answer questions. We'll have a little talk and Q&A, and it'll be super fun. So that's kind of the update on that. What's new with you?
Well, you know you've been doing this fabulous new podcast called Build a Badass Business.
Yes.
You know that on account of your doing it. And yes. It's been very inspiring for me. I haven't told you this a whole lot, but it's kind of inspired me to do a little like sweep out like the cobwebs of my business and just kind of start the new year right with my biz. Because I don't know, I think that's important and I'm excited about it. And I'm sure you've got a lot of people listening to that podcast that are also really excited about their new year goals for their business.
Yes.
So one of the things that I've done is engaged a really amazing lawyer to help me out with some issues that honestly I never thought that I would have. And my preference would really be to bury my head in the sand. But because I really want to have a good 2015 with regards to what I'm doing, which you really taught me to think of this as a business in the first place, she's actually a paleo lawyer. Like she's a paleo person. She's in the community. She knows exactly what's going on in this community. I actually asked her to come on and talk to me for like a little interview, kind of a new year, new business or new year, better business type of deal. And just talk to us about, you know, the things that business owners need to think about. And even just bloggers. We have a ton of people that listen to the Balance Bites podcast that are bloggers or thinking about starting a blog or really passionate about helping people. And no matter where you fit in on that spectrum, I think this conversation is relevant to you. Would you agree?
I would. I think that's, I'm really excited actually to hear it because I know that this interview is going to be pretty eye-opening for me too. I've definitely had my share of legal issues with just folks who are trying to use, you know, either my book titles or program names and all of that and really pass off work as their own, but branded as mine. And I know there's an app out there that's totally a ripoff from my 21-Day Sugar Detox program. If I had an app, y'all would know. Please.
You would have said something.
I'm working on so many things, and an app has been on the list and sort of in development for a long time, but I don't have one. And if you see one, it's false. So, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, it's really stressful. And I know, you know, I've gone through some trademarking with Practical Paleo and Balanced Bites and 21 Day Sugar Detox, but it's definitely tricky and stressful and hard to keep track of. So I'm interested to hear what she's got to say. And I know a lot of people who are listening to Balanced Bites here are also coming over to the Build a Badass Business podcast. I've got a thing with bees and alliteration. I'm sorry. I just like could not escape these names. But as it turns out, you know, I think, of course, I'm talking about the 21-Day Sugar Detox in the new year, but I think so many of our listeners, like you said, are entrepreneurs or they are, you know, whenever we've done, when I did an interview with JJ Virgin, it was like people just, I mean, it came out of the woodwork to comment on things because they were just excited to hear about that stuff. And so I'm excited for our listeners to get a taste of this. You know, of course, our podcast will always be more health and nutrition focused, but we do want to kind of mix in the stuff that we want to make sure that we share with our listeners. That's kind of the best of everything that we've got going on. And I'm excited for people to learn this stuff. So it should be pretty cool.
It's going to be awesome. And lest you think this does not apply to you, I just want people to understand, like, you don't have to be Diane Sanfilippo, author of the Paleo Bible, to need this kind of representation. Not TM, by the way. I don't think you can trademark that. But really, like, even if you are a blogger and you're just trying to help friends and family, or you're talking about your experience, that's how I started. Mm-hmm. I literally started out with a blog I thought only my parents would read. It was called Jers Elizabeth.
I did too. What the heck? Seriously. I don't know why people think I started with Practical Paleo.
But people just think that this type of thing doesn't matter. And for a long time, I thought it didn't matter. And truth be told, it came back to bite me in the buns. Mm-hmm. And that's just not what I want for anybody in the new year. Like, this is a great time to have a paleo, real food focused blog or business or whatever. And if you're putting a lot of energy into helping people, even just one or two people that read your blog right now, you have an opportunity to get that energy back in the form of a good, sustainable business. And even if you don't think this applies to you, you just don't know. So when you put your stuff on the internet, it gets ripped off.
Yeah, for sure.
Doesn't matter who you are.
And you might be able to share this with a friend, you know, if you hear something that, you know, they've been talking about. The only other thing I almost forgot to mention because now that I'm thinking about it, since we're talking about businessy stuff, my talk at PaleoFX this year is going to be on business and marketing and how to kind of turn what you've got in your head as this passion or idea, some steps that you need to follow to turn that into a business and things you need to think about. It's only going to be, hopefully it'll be a full 40 minutes, not 20, because we all know I could talk for a week about that stuff. Mm-hmm. So 40 minutes is pretty much the shortest time span I think I can squeeze it into, but hopefully I'll have 40 minutes on that. So if you're thinking about coming to Austin at the end of April, can wish me a happy birthday and come to my talk, and that'll be super fun.
It's your birthday?
Every year.
That's amazing. All right. So I know it just keeps happening over and over again. It's terrible. All right. So that's what we want to give you guys for this lovely New Year's Day, January 1st. We're going to talk a little bit about getting your business going in the new year, what you should be thinking about. I'm really excited to welcome Kristen from Trestle Law to the show, and we'll just cue up the interview. Enjoy. Okay, so today we're going to talk with my personal savior, and I'm serious about that, Kristen Roberts of Trestle Law. And this is something a little bit different, but it's something I'm so, so excited about because we need to get this out there. We have way too many paleo real food people that are starting their businesses on the internet, and you may think you're not starting a business, but you might just be. So we're going to talk about lots of things that are relevant to paleo bloggers, paleo wannabe bloggers, paleo business owners, real foodies, etc. So Kristen is the founder and managing attorney of Trestle Law APC. She's my attorney. I can say that, right?
You can say that.
Okay.
So because you're the client, you can say that.
Okay, good. As long as, if I need to delete anything, then you just let me know. I'll take it out. So a trestle is a structural support. And that's her firm's namesake. And what Kristen focuses on is providing support to her clients. And where this all started is after beginning her career as a litigator, Kristen turned her focus to helping paleo, primal, ecologically responsible, health, sustainable businesses develop and protect and police their intellectual property. She prosecutes trademark applications with the United States Patent and Trademark Office, and she litigates trademark and copyright infringement matters both in the Central and Southern Districts of California. As you guys know, I live in Missouri, so she can help you no matter where you are, most likely. And she also litigates before the USPTO Trademark Trial and Appeal Board. I hope I said that right.
You did. Okay, good. Fantastic.
Good.
You're so good at this.
I'm trying, man. I'm learning. So listen, if there might be some folks right now who are listening to this podcast and they're like, oh, this has nothing to do with me. Please trust me that it does, because literally up until 2 months ago, even as a person who is out there in the paleo community doing things, I didn't think this applied to me. So no matter who you are, this applies to you. Please listen. So anyway, in addition to her intellectual property practice, Kristen also provides general counsel representation to various businesses throughout California in like employment and business law. Very well-rounded person. Kristen lives in San Diego, California with her husband, Nick, and their boxer, Ziggy. I have to ask you, is it Ziggy from the comic strip or Ziggy Marley or Ziggy, what is it?
I actually love that you asked that question because we, in last April, we put down our 14-year-old boxer, Marley. Aww. So it was a really hard loss for us. And we were thinking, okay, maybe we're just done with dogs. Mm-hmm. So but then, of course, me being the softy that I am, started looking at boxer rescues. Mm-hmm. And there's one in Los Angeles, and I reached out to them, and then I kind of got cold feet. And then they reached out to me and they said, we have this dog that would be perfect for you guys. Here's a picture. And it was Ziggy. And he was just this wiggle butt, super cute dog named Oliver at the time. And then when we met him, I was thinking about it and I'm like, Marley, Marley. And then I was like, Ziggy Marley. Yeah. Aw. So I told Nick, I was like, we should name him Ziggy. So it was sort of a tribute to our late boxer, and we're boxer lovers.
Oh,
so.
I love it. Boxers are amazing dogs.
And they're also awful.
Yeah. We were talking off the air, like, our dogs are awful, but they're awful. Amazing.
They are.
Terrible dogs, but the best dogs ever.
I was telling you that he dug a hole through our mattress after a bender of eating some cacao nibs and having to take him to the hospital and getting him pumped full of charcoal. So definitely keeps me on my toes.
Poor baby. So I guess we've kind of done the mullet transition now. We did a little bit of like the business in the front. And so now we're on to
the
more of
mullet the mullet transition.
I just made that up, by the way. A little bit of the party in the back. So yeah. I just want to hear your story. Like, let people know how you got into the whole paleo legal biz, because you're not just like a lawyer that happens to work with paleo people. You are a paleo people.
Yeah. You know, part of it happened while I was working for my first firm. And you don't realize when you get out of law school that you're going to be sitting at a desk, you know, for 12, 13 hours a day. And I started getting something that I like to refer to as flat ass syndrome. And I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but I'm gonna say it. So, I just started putting on weight, and it wasn't good weight either. And I was still exercising and, you know, doing all of the things that I was quote unquote supposed to be doing. But I was also doing a lot of things that weren't healthy. I was a smoker for 10 years and I was smoking more and more. Mm-hmm. So that was bad. And I would literally like drive home from the gym and light up a cigarette. It was just disgusting.
Been there,
and
my friend.
Makes me cringe just mm-hmm. even saying it. So I just, you know, I was like, oh man, I just feel so tired. And my sister, Mary, she is actually a CrossFit coach up in Los Angeles. And she was just getting into this. This was back in 2010. And she told me about this 30-day program that was, you know, just sort of getting off the ground. And she's like, you know, it cleans you out. It's like a 30-day detox type thing. And you should try it. You should try it. And I'm like, I cannot live without bread. I'm sorry. No, I'm not doing that. So she kept, you know, asking me. And I was, at the time, my husband and I were just dating. And he said, let's try it. So we both tried it. And we did it for 60 days instead of 30. And he wound up losing 60 pounds, close to it. And I think I lost around 15. And then I started CrossFitting at the behest of my sister. Again, thanks, Mary, for all your help. And she, you know, sort of got me into this world, and it changed my life. I mean, eating well and working out and, you know, focusing on my health made me an overall better attorney too. I was just, you know, I had better focus. I wasn't falling asleep at my desk. I wasn't crashing in the middle of the day. And so, you know, I started devouring, you know, information that I could find about this stuff. And I started, you know, finding recipes online from certain bloggers, and it just sort of spiraled from there. And my, you know, my managing partners and my partners at my firm were all making fun of me, like, oh, Kristen's super healthy. Look at you all healthy. And, you know, I quit smoking because of that. It just was crazy. It went from there. And I started, you know, working with some CrossFit, box owners who needed some help. So I would bring them into the firm and sort of, you know, bring them in as clients. And I'm like, wow, these people have real legal issues. And a lot of people get into this business not to make money, but because they really believe in it. They really believe in the tenets of, you know, paleo and, you know, functional movement and things like that. So they don't really start out as business owners. They usually start out as athletes or people that are practicing it. And they wind up running into business issues that they don't necessarily know how to deal with. So I'm thinking to myself, wow, I can really help these people. And I do it. So I get it. You know, I understand what they're going through, and I understand what's behind it. I'm not supporting it just because it's the next thing. I really believe this is the way everyone should be living their life. Not to preach, but I'm going to preach.
Preach. That's so what this is here for. That's what we're doing.
Right. So I was wrapping up my tenure with my first law firm. Very grateful for them. They taught me a lot about running a business, running a law practice, and I just didn't know what was next. And I wound up helping a friend of mine who runs a very successful paleo blog, and she was so grateful. She was like, you should do something with this. And I said, yeah, I started this blog called Lawfully Paleo, and it, you know, gives information about the legal goings on in the paleo community. And she was like, screw that. You should be actually helping these people.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. So I started my law practice, and I thought this would be just sort of a side practice area for me because, you know, I'm a trademark attorney. I can do trademarks in all 50 states, prosecute them at least. And, you know, the Trademark Trial and Appeal Board is an administrative body through the United States Patent and Trademark Office. So there's no hearings or anything like that. It's all just drafting work. So that kind of work I can do. Other things like, you know, actual business help and things like that, I am confined to the state of California. But it really opened up my practice in the sense of the trademark work. And so I really started developing my branding practice because a lot of people don't know what else is out there. They're like, well, I love this name and I really want to protect it. And I'm like, well, here are the reasons why that's going to be difficult. And they never thought about it and they already put in, you know, thousands of dollars in building up and developing this brand. So, you know, that's kind of how I got started. It's been really fun. And I really want to continue helping these business owners because, you know, maybe the word paleo goes away, maybe it doesn't, but I think that ultimately the focus on real healthy whole foods and functional movement, and it's just sort of taking it back to the basics. And I think that that's really the most important thing about this industry.
Totally agree. Okay, so I'm just going to give people a little bit of a personal anecdote here. I found you because of these very issues that you work on in your professional life. I needed some trademark help. And I don't know how much detail, you know, I want to give. I probably don't want to give a whole lot, but I never in my entire life, number one, probably really conceptualized my business as a business until somebody tried to take it from me a little bit. So a lot of us, and I think maybe this is a women in business thing, I don't know, because most of the bloggers and the people that I interact with are women in this paleo real food industry or what have you. But basically, I just never expected to be caught up in any kind of legal issues. And the thing is, it freaking happens, and it happens a lot. And the other thing that happens is people steal your stuff. If you're on the internet, it's like peeing in a pool. You can't get it back. And if you put out there something of value, seriously, it really, really is. And I'm in some blogger networking groups, and here's what happens. It does not matter if it's the first blog you've ever put up on the internet and you never think you'll make any money from it because you're just doing it for fun, whatever. If you put something on the internet, and I don't want to scare people, but somebody's probably going to steal it and try and make money off of it. So if you're out there and you're putting a ton of work into a blog or into spreading the word about real food, if that is what you're doing, whether or not you intend to turn it into a business, I really think you need to be thinking about these things because it can very easily turn into a business in the blink of an eye. It really did for me. So some of the stuff that I want to talk to you about is just like the top things that you, I don't know, that you've seen. Maybe I know you kind of gave me a top three and we'll go through that, but I just want to kind of hear about maybe your response to what I just said. Like, what have you seen going on and how important is it for people to start thinking about this stuff, even if they're at the very beginning of their journey?
Yeah. I really love that you talked about a couple of things that really sort of, I don't know, struck a nerve with me or hit home with me. And one of them is that, you know, it's a women in business thing. And I think women in business is a great way of starting that out because in the legal world, it feels very hard for women too. I mean, it's still an old boys club. You're still, I don't want to say being held back, but people underestimate you a lot. And part of the reason I wanted to work with a lot of these paleo companies is because a lot of them are women. And, you know, like you said, you're starting this business not thinking of it as a business. You're like, I love to do this. This is what I am about. And I just want people to, I want to be able to share that with people. And then it's almost like riding a bike. You're riding it up this hill. And then all of a sudden you're going downhill and your business is taking off and it's all of a sudden a business.
Yeah.
And I would say that what I see a lot happening is people not treating it like a business or not thinking it is a business and thinking to yourself, well, I can just deal with those things later. And I don't know if this is what you did, but it sounded like you were kind of hinting at it that you never thought this was going to happen. And so
Correct. It
just sort of never occurred to you to reach out to an attorney.
Correct.
But then when you were facing an issue is when you decided to address it. And oftentimes my biggest piece of advice is it's a lot less expensive and a lot less scary to deal with it before it becomes an issue. Because a lot of people, let's face it, attorneys, we don't have the best reputations. We're seen as really expensive.
Yes. Yes.
Really
yes,
unaffordable.
Yes.
Really, really difficult to talk to because we just know better than you. And that's something that I think as a woman, I can relate to. Because I was talked down to a lot. I was treated like I didn't matter, that I didn't have a place at the table. And so I wanted, in creating my practice, I wanted to create a place for my clients to come and feel like they could talk to me and feel like they could reach out to me and not be afraid of tackling issues before they become issues. So damage control is not the way I want my clients approaching their problems. I would rather it be, pointed, directed plans to tackle potential issues that might arise someday, rather than saying, well, let's just wait until it's a problem and you can pay me $20,000 to fix this problem, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one element. And then the other thing is, I think being a fixed fee attorney has really helped, because clients are like, I don't want to write you a blank check. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to bill me hundreds of dollars an hour, and then you're going to send me this bill, and my eyes are going to fall out of my head, and I'm going to be like, I don't want to work with you, you know? So that was sort of another reason I liked the fixed fee model, because it allows me to sort of set project by project. And also we can do, you know, benchmarks. Clients like that. And, you know, I think I have my engineer husband to thank for that, because, you know, they're very project-based. It's like, this is the project at hand. These are the steps that we have to take to get there. And with the trademark stuff, it's very easy to do that. So that's kind of how I approached starting my practice and how I wanted to approach working with clients.
So two things. First of all, like, the whole women in business topic just absolutely intrigues me. And I think my, you know, I don't want to generalize, but I think maybe a tendency for some women, and I'm sure some men as well, is to just kind of give without asking for anything in return. And the same goes for my work. I was really pouring my heart and soul into my work for a very long time before I even thought about earning anything from it.
Oh, and yeah.
Which is crazy, because I was providing what was essentially a service for free, just because I like to help people. And whatever the fear was about turning it into a business, like looking like I'm only doing something for money, you've got to put that aside, because if you're doing something with that much passion, you do deserve to have some kind of return from it. And Diane loves to talk about that stuff. So
absolutely.
She talks about that a lot. But the other thing is, I was, first of all, this was my thought process kind of in phases over the last 4 or 5 years. This isn't a business. This is just for fun. This could be a business. Should this be a business? Should I call a lawyer for some help with my business? No, that's way too expensive. I'll wait until something happens. It probably will never happen. Oh, geez, my business is expanding. I'm going to hide my head in the sand and pretend something is never going to happen. And then boom, something happens and you need to call somebody to clean it up. So you're so right. Like, as far as expense goes, it is so much more cost effective to just at least talk to a lawyer about these things before it gets to that point where, oh crap, I need a lawyer.
Absolutely. And, you know, that was kind of one of my, I know we talked about my top three things, but you're sort of just really leading into all of my really crucial things that business owners should pay attention to. And this is not necessarily just paleo business owners. I mean, I work with a lot of entrepreneurs, and I think that entrepreneurs pour themselves into their business, and they don't think about what it takes monetarily to run a business, because, I mean, you cannot do everything yourself.
Right.
You will eventually need help. And, you know, I approach my business the same way, because, I mean, I'm a business owner. I run a law practice and it's just me. You know, I do the work. I connect with my clients. I get the clients. I do the work. I give them the product. I mean, it's a challenge to do the marketing and all of that stuff. And so I know it, because I'm in the trenches with everybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I think one of the biggest pieces of advice is start vetting those professionals early on, because I offer a no charge 30-minute consultation to anybody that calls me. And I can tell you, I've had hundreds of calls from people that are not even running a business yet, but are just thinking about starting one, and they call me. And I'm happy to talk to them, because chances are, if they have the drive to go through with their business, it's going to turn into something and they're going to come back to me and we'll eventually work together, which is great. But it's never too early to start talking to the professionals that you're considering using, because I think one of the key elements in a successful professional relationship is trust.
Yes.
And if you don't trust your lawyer and you don't like your lawyer and you're looking for somebody at the last minute because you got a nasty gram from an attorney saying we're going to sue you, you're going, shoot, what do I do now? And then you're just settling for somebody because mm-hmm. you're frantically calling someone saying, okay, well, who do you know? Who do you know? And you're asking people and they're like, well, use my brother or use my dad or use my, and it's like, it doesn't feel like you're actually actively participating in the process. It feels like things you're just sort of deflecting. So, and I had to do this because I had, I have an accountant, I have a financial planner, you know, I'm using, and I have an attorney that I use. I don't do, there are things that I don't do, you know, I am not an attorney that will tell you, oh yeah, you know, you should invest in this because that's not my area, or this sort of tax break is great for you. You know, and I get a lot of questions like that. And I'm like, dude, ask your accountant. I have no idea what you're talking about. I am an employment, business, and trademark attorney. Those are my areas. And even then, you know, sometimes it takes research. I wish I was an encyclopedia, but I'm human. I'm just not. So, I would recommend calling people and start vetting them early because you can, you know, that sets you up for success. And then when an issue arises, it becomes so much less expensive because the attorney or the accountant or the financial planner is already familiar with you and already familiar with what's been going on with you. So they're not, you're not paying them to get up to speed.
You're on the radar. Here's my experience. So before I found you, and by the way, I found you through other paleo people who have had amazing experiences with you. And so,
well, that's good to hear.
Yes. No, I mean, you come very highly recommended. And that, of course, helped establish trust from the very beginning. But what also helped establish trust is that you did that consultation with me that was totally no cost. And there was no like sell. There was no like, oh, I'm on the phone with her and now I'm going to feel like I have to do this. You know, whatever. So that was amazing. And I trusted you from the very beginning. My experience prior to that was basically like a lawyer at my parents' church who I reached out to. It was a really wonderful person, but who didn't understand what I was doing, didn't understand my business. And so I just felt like, I'm not sure you get what I need at this point. And I think probably the estimated fees probably reflected that. So really like having somebody that you trust that will talk to you, that'll jump on a podcast with you to talk about this stuff for free, and then really give you, like you were talking about earlier, a very clear and easy to understand like fee schedule and options is huge. Like there's just no reason not to do this. And like I said, I'm here talking to you today because of a personal experience that I'm going through that necessitated that I called you. And I wish that I called you years ago. So it's so important and I can't stress it enough. And it's not just if somebody's going to come after you. It's also if you Google your name and you realize that there are two pages of Google search results of people that have stolen your stuff.
Oh yeah. And it becomes overwhelming. You know, you start looking at all of it, and it happens almost like overnight. You know, it's one day you're just putting out this little blog and the next day your face is on people's websites and you're like, I never said that they could use my face.
Yeah.
I never said, but you're also like, well, I guess it's good press. All press is good. And so it's really hard to figure out whether or not these things are okay, what your, what you can do to stop it, what you can do to maybe profit from it, how you can approach it, whether these should be actually, you know, negotiated deals, you know, that kind of stuff is high level stuff. And if you're just in your own mind thinking this through, and I do this a lot where I was telling you earlier off the air that, you know, I think in circles. I'm like, and then I have this, and then I'm going to do that. And then I'm back to where I had originally started, which is why, you know, everybody that's a business owner needs help. I have a business development group that I bounce things off of, that I have, you know, high level discussions with, and you know, having an attorney be there with you is helpful, but, or having somebody there with you, it doesn't need to be an attorney, but for those types of legal issues, it's helpful. Which is why I really like to make it a collaborative process rather than, you know, do this, do that. This is how it is. I mean, you know your business best. You know how you want to be seen in the industry and in the community and by, you know, consumers.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to tell you what the best option is for you. I'm going to give you your options and what the ramifications of those options are, and then you make the choice.
And the cool thing about that is you're giving me those options based on an understanding of what I actually do, which is like,
that's helpful.
Huge. It is so helpful. I can't even tell you, but okay. So let's jump into this then, because I basically asked you for like your top, pieces of advice for business owners or paleo blog or whatever. Anybody listening to this podcast who has ever thought about writing a blog or putting themselves out there, starting a business, or even have thought, hey, I could do that. What are your, let's start with number one, which was, I loved it. Prepare as if your business will succeed, which is not something I did.
Yeah. You know, a lot of business owners that I know really approach their business as if, you know, they don't need something.
Yeah.
Well, I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need that. Because they're, and the, I always get the, I don't want to call it an excuse, but I get the explanation that it's because they're not there yet. You know, oh, I don't need a business entity. I'm not there yet. My business isn't big enough yet for that. I don't really need that. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be the one example I'd give, you know, setting up an LLC or a corporation or some kind of formal entity structure. But, you know, really by the time you need it, and I know we already sort of covered this, but I can't reiterate it enough. By the time you actually need it, chances are your business is pretty far along.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, by the time you need a business structure, you know, your business is already a business, you know, you've already made a substantial amount of money and, or you're already, entering into agreements that can subject you to liability. And from an attorney standpoint, and your accountant's going to have a different take on a business structure because they're looking at it from a financial standpoint. Does it make sense financially for you? But there's also a different piece to that. It's, there's a legal side of it because a business entity provides you, with, you know, protection. So if you, for instance, own a house and your business enters into an agreement and you don't have a structure, you're just a sole proprietor, your house can become something that's on the line for something your business does wrong. So having that entity limits your liability to just the business as opposed to unlimited liability, which comes with sole proprietorship. So it, you know, it becomes, it's a big thing, I think, personally. So that's what I did. I mean, I approached my business as though it would succeed. I thought to myself, you know, and I know a lot of lawyers that started law practices and they're like, well, I'm not making enough money for it to matter that I have a business entity. And for lawyers, it's a little different because we're always going to be personally liable. I mean, it's us personally doing the work. So
yeah.
It's not like I can say it was my business that did it, like not me, you know? So, you know, some lawyers think that way and say, you know, I don't really need a business structure, but I just said, you know what, might as well, who knows, it'll just, you know, it'll work out. It'll be fine. And usually the cost is pretty minimal. And also, the cost to dissolve it isn't that much if it's just you in the business. So if it doesn't work out, no big deal. You just submit a few forms, pay a small fee, and then the business is gone.
Yeah.
And you know, I would say kind of in that same vein, if you're going to start a partnership, definitely get something written. I mean, I have seen tons, countless businesses that are run by partnerships just completely implode. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have some kind of agreement written down, preferably by an attorney, it's not about starting it because it's very easy to start a business. It's really hard to take one apart when there's more than one person involved. So having an agreement that specifies an exit strategy is, I think, crucial. So if you don't have one and you are running a business with a partnership, just get one like now.
Yeah. So obviously tip number one, prepare as if your business will succeed. But I want also to say, and I feel like you were talking about this as well, this is a mindset as much as it is a business strategy. So this is like, I'm putting my stuff out there on the internet to help people. Put it out there. Like, you don't even have to know how much you want to make or what you want to do or where you want to take it or what the perfect final name for all of your whatevers are going to be or whatever. You don't have to know everything, but you do have to say, I'm putting this out there with a purpose. And whether or not you ever end up making an exorbitant amount of money from it, which most of us don't, let's be honest, but there is money to be made, of course, in helping people. But put it out there with the mindset that your business will succeed in helping people as much as financially. So like, this is for everybody. You know what I mean? Like, this is not just, I have to make this a financial success. This is like preparing to not just help people, but also to do it in a way that's sustainable for you. And that's where the business strategy comes in, because you cannot just give of yourself every day for the rest of your life and not get anything back for it to recharge your ability to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that also plays into the actual success of your business, mm-hmm. because I feel like it's really hard for something to work if you're not confident that it will. Yeah. You know, if you're not thinking to yourself, I can do this, if you're going, oh, well, it's not going to work out. It's not going to be, well, I might as well not do that. It's not like I'll ever be able to do this. And then you probably won't, you know?
Right.
So I think of it as not just a business strategy, but also, you know, actual key to success of your overall business.
Totally agree. All right. So I might have already accidentally covered a little bit of number two, but so what's tip number two?
Tip number two is, and we definitely talked about this, but I'm going to say it again because it can never hurt. Budget for professional services as early on as possible.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people, when starting a business, at least entrepreneurs that I know, and also myself, I sat down with my husband and I wrote out a business plan. Because I'm type A and I'm kind of a psycho, but that's okay. But I wrote out, you know, just a generalized business plan of what it was that I wanted to do and where I wanted to be within a certain number of months. And, you know, in that business plan, I put down specific amounts for things, you know, websites. Those can be expensive, especially if you're doing them well and they're fully optimized. And, yep. you know, you can spend a few thousand dollars on a website. And you know, you can marketing budgets and, you know, photographs for yourself, because let's face it, we all don't wake up looking like Liz Wolf. So,
okay, you win. I was not ready for that cheese.
Were you ready for that?
I was not.
You could spread that cheese with a
knife. You're the one who was totally ready to go on video chat. And I was like, oh, you can't see me, can you?
Oh my gosh. And I'm like fixing my hair and I'm like, does it look okay? And you're like, why do you look so good?
I should have told you I don't do video chats.
Oops. So, you know, things like headshots for your website, things like that. I mean, those cost money. Yeah. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs think to budget for that stuff, but they don't think to budget for professionals because, again, they're approaching it as if, well, I'll pay for it when I need it. And I think it's better to factor that into your budget, because if you are going to take a leap into business ownership and leave your job, you should recognize that you're going to need a reserve for that. So you're not thinking to yourself, well, I'll just go with the cheapest option, because honestly, and I will tell you this, the cheapest option, you do pay for what you get.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you really do with lawyers, and with an accountants and, you know, all professionals, it really is. And I try to keep my prices as low as possible, but you know, it is a lot of work. You are giving hard earned work product to your clients. And so, there is that, you know, there is a market level that you should consider when going into starting your business. And so I would recommend, consider like tacking on an additional, maybe $2,000 to $3,000 in your budget, for those services. And I'm not talking about just for one person, for an attorney to do your corporate setup, for your accountant to do your taxes. And, you know, you may wind up not needing that because your business does so well in the first year that, you know, you can pay those funds out from somewhere else, but having those funds doesn't hurt either, you know? Mm-hmm. So I would just recommend that. I know it sounds like an ungodly sum, but think about how much you'll spend for a good website. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me to think that somebody will spend $3,000 to $4,000 on a website, but won't spend $1,500 to get their business entity set up.
Yes, because you can spend $3,000 to $4,000 on a website that can all be taken away from you if you don't do your due diligence with the other stuff.
Or try to be taken away. And then mm-hmm. and then you're fighting for it to get it back.
Yes.
And that costs way more money than it does to just protect it from the beginning.
And at the beginning, I would have been like absolutely horrified by somebody saying save $3,000 to $4,000 for this type of thing. But it happens. It's very slow and then it happens quickly. So here's the thing. If you're at the very beginning of whatever your journey is, from the beginning, when you're used to living on whatever it is you're living on already, when you start to bring in, say, some affiliate commissions. Like, you speak positively about a product you really believe in, and those people just happen to give you 10% of sales that you refer to them. That $22 check or that $22 PayPal transfer, put it away like you never saw it. And over time, you can start building that up, maybe adding to it from your own, you know, like pool of nickels and dimes as you can. But here's the thing, it will happen. If you start earning a little, more than likely that's going to become more. And so you want to just start preparing for that from the beginning. You don't have to have $4,000 right this minute, but you do want to plan to put that stuff away, especially in that kind of sweet spot where, you know, we say people need to be doing this from the beginning, but there is that kind of sweet spot where you're bringing in a little bit, but maybe not so much that you end up with a target on your back just yet. So that's that sweet spot where you can start filing that money away for when you're going to need it for the, for setting up your business and for contacting Kristen for a free consultation and talking about what you might need in the future. So don't freak out at the numbers, because it's a lot more realistic than it may seem to a lot of people.
Yeah. And you know, from my own experience, I think I did it. I did sort of the what not to do approach when it came to things like my website. I started out with a very small budget, and my husband, God love him, the engineer that he is, he said, "I'm just going to like do your website." And I said, okay. I said, "Sure, you know, of course." And you know, he's so smart and can do anything. So, and I just love him. So I said, "Yeah, let's do it." And it just wasn't what I wanted to do. So then I hired somebody and I said, "Well, I have this really small budget, you know, and I'm like, here's $500, you know, but I want this like really functioning, amazing website." And he looked at me like I was on crack. He was like, "No." So I got basically the bones of my website. And then I was really upset that I didn't have everything that I wanted. And he's like, "Kristen, this costs, you know, 12, 13. So then I found another person to help me optimize it. And that was $700. And then before you know it, I spent like $2,000 when I could have just spent the $2,000 on the website to get exactly what I wanted from the beginning. So that's sort of how I approached it. And it was sort of a what not to do, you know. I would have rather had maybe saved a little bit more and pushed back the launch of the website than it sort of limped along for a while. And it's still not done, to be honest. It just dangles out there now. It's dangling.
What's that thing in your throat that dangles? The uvula?
The uvula.
It's like the uvula of websites, just kind of dangling there.
It's the uvula of websites. It really is. I mean, it captures enough, you know. I'm like, it shows my services. So, the other thing, you know, that you sort of mentioned that I want to point out again is that a lot of these professionals, they do offer no charge consultations. Mm-hmm. So it's a really good idea to start getting to know your professionals that you want to work with early on, because trusting them is really important. Knowing them is really important, and you can save a lot of money by them knowing you, you know, like you said, it reflected in the price because they didn't get your industry. They didn't get, you know, what it is that you were trying to do. And so I work with a lot of internet-based businesses. It's easy for me to sort of wrap my head around it. You know, I know what affiliate sales are, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, things like that. So I know what a scraper site is. I know, you know, and things like that, whereas some of the maybe saltier dog attorneys or people that don't necessarily work in this industry, whether they may be business owners or business attorneys, they may not necessarily do this kind of work. So you definitely want to find somebody who's in the vein of what it is that you do.
Yes, I could not agree more. And the same goes for, I think you were saying this, for other professionals. There are accountants that don't necessarily understand what it is to be an independent business owner doing business on the internet, you know? So it does really help, especially to, you know, if you have a buddy, like my accountant is one that I found through my photographer, who is a business owner all her own. And so her accountants kind of understood, they were savvy to what was going on. And that's really, really helpful. So totally, totally 100% with you. All right. So tip number three, and I think we're expanding a little bit with this one, but this is where I think people really, the rubber meets the road with what we've talked about before, of course, but this is the stuff people think about when they think about needing legal representation. So your third one was know your competition, know what else is out there.
Yeah. And I think as a branding and trademark attorney, and it's sort of my bread and butter and what it is that I do and I love, this area of the law, while I do those other things that I talked about, the trademark stuff and the branding stuff sort of holds a special place in my heart because it's really fun for me. And I also feel like, especially for my online clients that are running online businesses, it provides them the most tangible help. Because they're really getting to see the results of what it is that I'm doing for them. You know, you get a business entity, I'm like, here's your LLC formation. And they're like, okay, Happy dance. Thanks. I mean, yeah, I'm like doing a little dance in my office. But when I get to say, this person is transferring this domain to you, you are now going to be the owner of this website because they were infringing on your website. Or, you know, we're going to stop them from filing this trademark and they've agreed to it. And here's the release, you know. My clients get really excited about that stuff. And I feel like I can like hold their hands through the computer screen and like we can like dance around in a little circle together because it is, it's really satisfying and it's super fun. So knowing your competition, I don't mean like, you know, start ripping off other people. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, you know, knowing the business and the brand that you're trying to build, knowing what other people are doing in terms of, are they doing something similar to you? Because when you start out building your business, you get this great lightning strike idea for your business name and you do a Google search, right? I mean, that's the first thing people do is they go to Google and they start searching the name and they're like, it's okay. I don't see anybody doing that. That's great. Perfect. And then they go to GoDaddy and they find the website and it's not taken. And you're like, yes, I'm so excited. This is amazing.
I've bought so many websites in my life, by the way. Like,
oh, me too.
My GoDaddy.
I'm still doing it. I'm still doing it too. It becomes like an addiction.
It does.
Where I'm like, is this free? And I look for it. I'm like, it is. I'm taking it. And then I buy it and I never use it. And I'm like, okay. Which, you know, squatting is not often awesome, but no. I think we're all guilty of it.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, no, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's available though. Because there are other ways to figure out whether or not these are already being used as trademarks. And, one of them is through the United States Patent and Trademark Office. But the analysis gets deeper than that because it's all about whether or not two companies are likely to be confused with each other.
Yeah.
And it's all about protecting the consumer, right? So consumers see a brand and they associate in their minds that brand with that company and that service or product. The United States Patent and Trademark Office, they don't really care necessarily whether the two names are the same, but whether or not those two same names are likely to be confused with one another based on what it is those businesses do. Mm-hmm. So that's just, you know, a little tiny trademark lesson, but it can become very complex, the analysis, because there are the likelihood of confusion analysis is, you know, like an 11-point factor test and can become very in-depth and heady and, you know, most business owners aren't thinking, okay, well, are we in the same channels of trade? Are we overlapping products? Are our consumers very, you know, sophisticated and things like that? They're not thinking those things. They're just thinking the name's available, the website's available, I'm going to use it. And then all of a sudden, 5 years down the road, you're getting a letter from somebody saying, we've been using this before you.
Yes,
please cease and desist. And you're like, what the hell? I thought I was doing everything right. So it's helpful to have somebody that understands trademark law because not a lot of business attorneys do this kind of work. It's helpful to have an attorney come on and say, you know, let's do a quick search, a couple $100. Let's perform a search to figure out whether or not this name has a good likelihood of success if you ever were to pursue trademark prosecution down the road. I mean, it doesn't mean you need to do it now, but you can. But at least know whether or not you're going to walk into a whole heap of trouble when you start, you know, start out your business. And that's not the way you want to start things, especially when you're likely hiring people to design your logo and you're hiring somebody to, you know, help you with the brand. And then you spend all this money to promote that when you could have spent a couple $100 to see if you were going to wind up screwing yourself from the get-go, if it was going to be a non-starter.
Absolutely. And for what it's worth, you know, we think about those flashy things first. We think about, oh, I need a logo. Yep. Oh, I need this and that. The thing is, there are a million free sites on the internet that you can put together something acceptable that will work as a logo for the first year. You don't want to skimp on finding out whether you should even be putting yourself out there with that identifier in the first place, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I have, And I'm not going to just, you know, say this because I'm probably going to get a ton of calls about this stuff, but it's okay because I am about helping business owners. I'm not about gouging them. And right. So I've had clients before come to me, and if we get a rapport going, and I like you and we get along and it's clear we're going to work together, I've been known to run a USPTO search for somebody just to see if the identical name is already taken in what it is that they're doing. And it just, it's peace of mind. And I haven't, you know, I haven't charged for that stuff because it doesn't take very long. And it's, you know, I can at least say, you know, this isn't a full search.
Right.
This isn't something that it's a basic run search that you could do yourself, or I'll direct them to the website.
So I want everybody to understand, like, this is not an attorney offering free advice in a official attorney client relationship. Like, this is you just saying you have been known to kind of help give people an idea of the road they might want to take with you should you have a relationship. Does that make sense?
Correct. Yeah, that's exactly okay. Right.
Because I understand, like, we want to be careful. It's kind of like Diane and I at the beginning of every episode of the Balanced Bites podcast. We are not medical professionals. Like,
exactly. I am not your lawyer.
Yes.
Exactly. I am not your lawyer until you hire me. And then I am all yours. And that's what I really like to do with my fee agreements, is I want to make sure that everything is encompassed and you'll get scopes. What is covered, what isn't covered, because I think that's really important. It colors the relationship and helps define what it is that I'm specifically going to be doing for you.
Yeah, completely. So, all right, what have we missed so far? Like, what do you want people to know that are, whether they're at the beginning of their journey with this or whether they're kind of already established, like, what do you wish Liz knew before she called you desperate?
I just wish that people knew that it's not as scary as you think to work with a lawyer.
It's not.
Especially if there's somebody that you feel like you can trust, because a lot of attorneys now, especially younger attorneys like myself and my office mate and, you know, people that I know in this industry are really striving to provide quality service, because I think I was in the service industry for a long time. I was a server, you know, at a restaurant, mm-hmm. and I actually loved my job. And for me, that's what being a lawyer is about. It is a service-based industry, and it's about providing a service to somebody else. And I feel like as long as you work with an attorney that keeps their eye on that aspect of things, you're going to be just fine. And we're not, you know, money hoarders. I'm not like sitting in a bathtub of money, like tossing it up in the air, you know, which is really gross. Or don't put dollar bills in your mouth either.
No. We talked about off the air. Do not. Yeah.
Do not do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not like, you know, I'm sitting here twisting my mustache. That sounds really gross. I'm sorry. My analogies are like really gross.
No, I can see it in my head. I mean, you're like
sitting in a bath of money, twisting a mustache.
You would have to have a monocle on if you have a mustache that's twistable.
Oh, exactly. My. Exactly. So, it's, you know, it can be an approachable thing. And there are, you know, there are lawyers out there that are very expensive, but you know what? I mean, they do very specialized work. And they're, you know, part of the reason they're very expensive is because they do a great job. You know, if I was ever going to be trading stocks or doing securities work, you know, I would want to hire the best. And yeah. But there are options out there for people in this industry who are approachable and who will provide you a great service. So it's better to figure out who those people are really early on and just don't be afraid, just jump right in. And if you don't like them, all you have to do is say no. Hang up the phone and you're done.
Literally,
you
know, if you don't like, just hang up the phone.
Just be like, nope, and hang up the phone.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah. Bye, Felicia. So, you know, even if you just want to call me to talk to me to see if I might be a good fit for you, and that's what I always tell people, that 30-minute consult is not for me to go over your specific legal issue that you're having. It's to determine whether or not we're going to be a good fit and whether the relationship is going to be successful going forward.
Yeah.
And I think you can learn a lot about somebody in 30 minutes. I really do. So that's really what that is about. It's not about, you know, here are all my documents. Can you like go over them for me? It's more about, this is what my business is doing. This is where it's headed. You know, do you think that we could maybe work together?
So let me tell everybody, I should have done this before, but as you were talking, I was thinking of all the words that I think describe you, Kristen, for people to understand like why I love working with you so much. You are approachable. You're trustworthy. You come highly recommended. You're fast. You're helpful. You get what I'm doing. You're very much, you know, you're great to talk to, like, as a friend on the phone. Like, well, you know, we chatted for a while before we started recording, but also you're all business when it comes to the business stuff. Like, you are very, I mean, I don't want to say a bulldog, but you get done what needs to get done. No BS. And that's really, really important and helpful, because you don't want to feel like you're getting the runaround from a professional that you need really, like, immediate results from.
Yeah. And some of these, you know, trademark issues can be time sensitive, mm-hmm. you know, especially if you're getting a letter, or I call them nasty grams.
Yep.
If you're getting a nasty gram from somebody, from an attorney, or from somebody claiming they have priority of rights over a trademark that you've been using, they can be deadline and time sensitive. Yep. So, you know, and it's funny that you said that. Thank you very much, first of all, for all of those really kind words. And yeah. I have all of the same things to say about you. And it's part of the reason I love working with, you know, all of these business owners, is because I really do believe in them. And it's easy to get behind something and really fight for something that you believe in. But also, that you mentioned something about me being all business. And I was telling you earlier, my office mate, Amanda, calls me. She was reading one of my letters over for me for, you know, grammar issues. And she goes, wow, you're so bubbly and nice in person and people just love you. And then in letters, you're just like, and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And so, you know, but I think that's important, because I think it is part of the, you know, being a female attorney and wanting to be sure that they understand that I'm nice and I'll work with you. And I am definitely about settling and coming to an agreement and taking the path of least resistance. But if I have to, you know, I'll go to the mats for you.
Absolutely. And I have definitely felt that vibe from the beginning. And it's been just, you know, kind of another pillar in the trestle. I don't know.
Exactly. No, that's exactly right. Well, they're, you know, support, you know, those lattice support structures. That's kind of what a trestle is. Plus there's a beach here in San Diego where I live and practice, called Trestles Beach. So I thought of it as like, it's a famous surf spot. So I thought of it as kind of like a tip of the hat to being in San Diego and also helping and providing that support to business owners that they need. And my tagline is building the bridge to your success. And so I know it's like super cheesy, aww, but...
Did your husband help you with that one?
You know, he
absolutely did. Engineered, like a bridge guy?
Yeah, he's an engineer. He's a civil engineer. So even more reason why I think he actually came up with the name. I was like, what's a word for support?
Yeah.
And he was like, trestle? And I'm like, perfect, done. Coming up with the name was the hardest part.
That's the fun part when your spouse is like, you run all your ideas past your spouse. Because every time I do that business-wise, my husband, he's a pilot, he's like, what about flyover? What about soaring? Like, it's always something. It's just so funny. Good old Nick. Oh, good old Spencer good old, and Nick.
Good old Nick. Spencer and Nick.
Good old guys. All right. Well, we are at like 55 minutes, which is amazing. I'm so happy you were able to do this today. And I think that we should probably make this some kind of regular thing if you've got time, because I know people have so many questions and we just love to have you back again.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to. And if anybody is interested in getting in touch with me, they can do it through my website, trestlelaw.com, and that's spelled T-R-E-S-T-L-E. And you can also email me directly. It's Kristen, K-R-I-S-T-E-N, @trestlelaw.com. You can also connect with me on Facebook, Twitter. I'm @trestlelaw. I'm also on Instagram. I'm K-N-G Roberts or trestlelaw. I'm also on LinkedIn and Google+. So any of those social media outlets, I mean, I usually have about a 24 to 48 hour turnaround time. So if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out and get in contact with me. If you want to call me, it's 619-289-8939.
Dang, girl, you're going to be getting lots of calls.
Well, I'm happy to.
It's your cell phone.
It's my office line, but it's connected directly to my cell phone. So yeah, it is.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Seriously, folks, give this some thought, because it will become relevant to you at some point in your experience. Why not start getting all your ducks in a row right now?
Thank you so much for having me, Liz. It's been really fun chatting with you.
Absolutely. All right, friends, that's it for my interview with Kristen from Trestle Law. Really excited to get folks started with a really rewarding business in the new year. Happy 2015. As usual, you can find Diane at DianeSanFilippo.com, and you can join me at RealFoodLiz.com. Join our email lists for free goodies you don't find anywhere else on our websites. And while you're on the internet, leave us an iTunes review. We'll see you next week.